Welcome to the Virtuous Her podcast, the empowerment hub for modern women, drawing inspiration from both contemporary leaders and the timeless wisdom of women in the Bible. Join us as we delve into the lives and story of virtuous women who are leaders, entrepreneurs, mothers, and mentors in today's world. Hi, my name is Christy, your host, and I am thrilled to embark on this journey with you. As a mentor, entrepreneur, ministry leader, I've had the privilege of navigating the world of business, artistry, and community service. Across America, I've had the honor of mentoring business leaders while also managing multi-million dollar enterprises and raising two beautiful children as a dedicated wife and mother. My passion for empowering women is deeply rooted in 15 years of spiritual leadership alongside my husband in ministry. Through this podcast, I aim to share the insights, wisdom gained from my experience in both the marketplace and the ministry. Whether you're seeking guidance in leadership, entrepreneurship, or simply navigating life's challenges, I'm here to provide inspiration and support. Join me as we explore topics ranging from business strategies to spiritual growth, all with the aim of equipping you to thrive in every aspect of your life. Together, let's embark on a journey of empowerment, enlightenment, and virtuous living. I have one goal, and it is simple. It is to equip you with strategies and insights that empower you to navigate modern life with grace and purpose. As women, we juggle numerous roles and responsibilities, from entrepreneurship to family management, all within the ever-evolving landscape of today's culture. Now, through this podcast, I aim to provide you with actionable ideas and practical advice that you can apply to your everyday life. Whether you're striving to excel in your career, balance, family commitments, or simply seeking personal growth, I'm here to support you on your journey. Welcome to the Virtuous Her Podcast, where empowerment knows no bounds. So today we'll look at the book of Ruth. Ruth demonstrated numerous qualities of virtue and strength, particularly through her loyalty, humility, and faithfulness. I love her spirit and her character, and I love talking and teaching about Ruth because she gives us a prime example, or she is a prime example of what a virtuous woman is. Now, we all know that Ruth was a Moabite woman who became widow at a young age. Isn't that terrible? Your husband dying when you're young? Well, instead of her returning to her homeland, she chose to remain with her mother-in-law, Naomi, despite Naomi's urging to her to return to her own people. Imagine that in a modern world where you're left with your mother-in-law. Just imagine being in Ruth's place, where her husband died, she's young, and now she has to live with her mother-in-law. So we all know Ruth's famous declaration to Naomi. And it was this: where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Isn't that powerful? You can find that declaration at Ruth 1:16. Now, what we want to focus on today is hard choices, tough choices, especially in the midst of adversity. And hearing God's voice, right? It is a challenge of having to make a decision in a difficult situation, but making sure that you hear the voice of God. So I wanted to title this podcast Virtuous Voices, Empowering Modern Women to Hear the Voice of God. It is in those adverse times, in adverse situations, that I want to make certain that it is God who is speaking to me. Now, let's get back on Ruth for a second before we get into our topic and our subject for tonight. Ruth's loyalty and dedication to Naomi exemplifies her virtuous character. Despite facing uncertainty and adversity, she remains steadfast in her commitment to support and care for her mother-in-law. Now, Ruth's humility is evident throughout the story. Despite being a foreigner in a land unfamiliar to her, she was willing to work hard to provide for herself and her mother-in-law by gleaning in the fields of Boaz, a wealthy landowner. In her humility and her work ethic, it earned her favor in Boaz's eyes. ultimately leading her to redemption and restoration. I love the Boaz story. But we're not going to focus on the love story. We're looking at her work ethic. We're looking at her character, because that really is what exemplifies what a virtuous woman is, right? It is the character. It's her qualities. It's the traits that make her virtuous. Because I know a lot of times we focus on this passage of scripture. We look at the love story and the redemption and restoration in it. And it's okay, that's cool, but we're focusing on the virtues that she exhibits that paves the way for redemption and restoration. Okay, so Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi and her willingness to embrace this new culture and faith, it showcases her virtuous character. How many of us have to embrace this new culture that we're in? It's different for a lot of people. Approached a more technologically advanced culture in which it makes the gleaning and the sowing, the field work harder, right? So this new culture of her, where she was probably taking care of being a wife, now she is tasked with being a breadwinner and a provider and a caretaker. So her culture was different for her, or this culture was different for her. But it was those qualities and those characteristic traits that makes her virtuous. And if we look at her actions, we see that she exhibits strength, loyalty, humility, faithfulness, especially in bad adversity. And I want to say here, because that's when our faith is really tested. That's when our character is really tested in those adverse times. And they're not comfortable. They are difficult times, and we have difficult times. I don't care how virtuous you are. That virtue is actually produced in difficulty, right? So as a woman living in the modern technological age, we too face tough choices every single day, hurdles from balancing work, family, managing relationships, staying true to our values. It's like walking a tightrope sometimes, but amidst the hustle, there's one challenge that really hits home. It's hearing God's voice. There are so many challenges that we face, but hearing God's voice is a big one. Now, let's face it. We're in a world where we're constantly bombarded with noise and distractions 24/7. Tuning into that divine frequency can feel like a quiet spot in the middle of Times Square. So many deadlines, family commitments tugging at our sleeve, social media buzzing all the time in our ears. It's so easy to lose sight of that still, small voice. But here's the thing. In the midst of all of this chaos, hearing God's voice is more crucial now than it's ever been before. Whether you're grappling with life's big decisions or you're just trying to make it through the day with your sanity intact, having that heavenly GPS can make all of the difference. So how do we cut through the noise and tune into God's voice? Well, that's the million-dollar question. That is the question that takes you from level to level, from glory to glory. It is hearing and being able to tune in to God's voice. Now, what I've learned and the strategies that you have to carve out those pockets of quiet time amidst the chaos. I don't care what's going on. You've got to find time to suck with God, to dine with God. I don't care what's going on. I don't care. Supervisor yelling at you, husband pulling on you, phone blowing up. You have to say, no, this is my God time. This is my time with God, because it is in this time that I hear from God and that I can get clear instructions and directions on where it is that I need to go. It's about finding the moments to pause, to breathe, to listen. And maybe, just maybe in those few moments of prayer before diving into your inbox or doing that quiet walk in the park to clear your head, maybe that's the time that you get the answer that you need. I don't care how you do it, but finding that stillness is key. It is so important. And when we do tune in, amazing things happen. I know for me, when I tune in and when I really hear God, and I'm saying hearing him, not hearing what I want to hear, and hearing my voice, but really hearing God, amazing things happen. But also, those tough decisions, they don't seem so tough anymore. It is where I find clarity in the midst of confusion, peace where there was chaos. But most importantly, I realize that I'm not alone. Because sometimes I try to make decisions by myself. And I, after having a conversation and talk with God, I just realized I must have lost my mind trying to figure this out and do this on my own. Life is crazy, right? So tuning into that divine frequency amidst the static is so important, because when we do, we realize that nothing is too far for God. You know, I found that beginning my day with a walk, it's not just about getting fresh air and exercise. Of course, I really enjoy the fresh air. I really enjoy the exercise, but it's become a sacred time. It's my chance to connect with God and to hash out all of my major decisions and tasks that lie ahead of me. It's like, it's my daily strategy session with my CEO. Because when you're entrepreneurs, who do you report to? God is my CEO. But without this quiet time, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I could make decisions as effectively or confidently. It is something about the rhythm of my footstep and the stillness of the morning that clears away the mental clutter and open up space for clarity and insight. It's during these walks that I pour my heart out to God, laying out all my concerns and my challenges and my goals for today. And you know what? He listens. Sometimes I'll get this nudge in a certain direction or this certain burst of inspiration that helps me see things from a different perspective. But perhaps the most important thing I gain from these morning walks is a sense of peace and confidence, knowing that I've taken the time to seek God's divine guidance before diving into my day's demand. That gives me this solid foundation to stand on. It's like having a trusted advisor at my corner. And that help is all the help I need to navigate through the twists and the turns of life with grace and wisdom. So how do you, I think others should do it too, because that's what I'm here to compel you to do. I'm compelling you to carve out that sacred time, you know, because I think it's important. In this world, we have things constantly pulling at us in a million different directions, and that time for reflection and connection is more important than the water that you drink, the food that you eat, the air that you breathe. He is our air. He is that living water. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, if you drink this water that I have, if you drink this water, you will never thirst again. It's not about productivity, but it's about being purposeful. And trust me, once you've experienced the power of starting your day with God, you'll wonder how you ever managed it without it. In our lives, we often encounter moments where tough decisions loom large, demanding our attention and discernment. But just like Ruth in the Bible, who found herself in a crossroad between the death of her husband, we too face choices that require careful consideration and guidance. So how do we approach those difficult situations or those difficult choices? I take example from Ruth. Instead of her rushing into her decision, she took the time and she sought guidance through prayer and reflection. She didn't make her choice lightly. She paused. She listened. She waited for God's direction. And in our own lives, prayer and reflection can serve as a powerful tool for seeking guidance. Just taking those little moments to connect with God, to meditate on His Word, can give you clarity, can give you insight and the choices that are before you. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, that those special moments, they're not just about reflection, right? You know, Ruth also sought counsel. And sometimes we leave that part out. She had a mentor. You have a mentor? She had a mentor. Naomi was a mentor. And we see how she sought Naomi's wisdom and sought Naomi's advice, even though she advised her incorrectly. But she sought her wisdom and she sought her advice before making a decision. And, you know, modern women, it's important. It's important that we have trusted mentors around us, people in our community, individuals that can offer perspective, wisdom, and support when we navigate through tough decisions, because we're not an island to ourselves. Ruth trusted her intuition. What is intuition? It is that gut, you know? We have that gut feeling. You know when something's not right. You know when something's wrong. She had that intuition, and she took a leap of faith, and she chose to remain with Naomi and to follow God's leading. And in the same way, we can trust our intuition and our instinct, knowing that God guides us through the Holy Spirit, which is within us. And combining that prayerful reflection with wise counsel and that trusted intuition, man, what can we not accomplish? What choice is too difficult that we cannot approach with confidence, knowing that we're seeking God's will in all that we do? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I do, where I go. God, what is your will? What is your way? What is your will, God? What is your way? It is in the moments of uncertainty and tough decisions, it's comforting to know that we as believers, we have the Holy Spirit well known inside of us, serving as our God. He's there to serve us, serving as our God, and most importantly, our counselor. And just as Ruth listened and heard the voice of God in her own challenges, we can rely on that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, which is within us, to provide guidance and direction. The Holy Spirit is our internal compass, gently nudging and guiding us in the right direction, illuminating our path. When we're faced with tough choices, we can trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and He will tell us what God's will is for us. Our intuition becomes a conduit through which the Holy Spirit communicates with us, prompting us to discern the best course of action. By tuning into that still, small voice on the inside, we can discern God's leading and make decisions with confidence. Whether it's a major life choice or a small, everyday decision, the Holy Spirit is there to offer guidance and wisdom. As we cultivate a deeper relationship with God and nurture our spiritual sensitivity, we become more attuned to the Spirit's prompting, allowing us to navigate life's challenges with faith and assurance. Now, I want to talk about the impact of our decisions, because a lot of times people don't, they're so hasty in making choices and so hasty in making a decision. Understand that every decision that we make has the potential to send ripple effects through our family dynamics and impact the well-being of our children. Whether it's a major life choice or seemingly insignificant decision, the consequences can reverberate through our household. So we have to think when you're faced with tough decisions, it is essential to consider how our choices will affect our loved ones. For example, a decision to relocate for a job opportunity may disrupt the stability of your family, requiring adjustments from everyone involved, adjustments that they cannot afford. Similarly, choices regarding financial investments or lifestyle changes can have lasting impacts on our children's upbringing and future prospects. It is crucial that we weigh out the long-term consequences of our decisions and prioritize our family's well-being above all else. This means considering not only immediate benefits, but also the potential risk and sacrifices involved. By aligning your choices with your family values and goals, that will ensure that your decisions contribute positively to your family's growth and your happiness. Because at the end of the day, that's all we want as women, as mothers, as wives. We want our family to be happy, right? And for me, family is a priority. It's something that I prioritize. And so with that priority, I just make sure that I am creating that supportive and nurturing environment for my children to thrive. By placing our family's welfare at the forefront of our decision-making process, we can navigate life's challenges with wisdom and compassion, knowing that our choices have profound impact on those we hold dear, right? Because this is the family is the most important thing in God. And when you prioritize that, you know that you're in God's perfect will. I remember a choice that I had to make. And I feel like had I made the wrong choice in this situation, I may not have had the particular family that I have now, okay? Can't say that to be certain, but I just, when I look at it, that's kind of sort of how I feel. But in my post-college journey, there was this pivotal moment where I had to make a choice. Either I stay in Birmingham or I move back home to Mobile. But man, it was something about Birmingham. Birmingham was, of course, it was an unfamiliar place for me. No family here. I really didn't know anybody here. And I know everybody back home. So that first year out of college was a whirlwind of new experiences for me and new challenges. But as I settled into Birmingham and kind of embraced the city and kind of got a look at the city, I was offered the opportunity to go back home, right? Like I said, Birmingham had a vibrant culture and entrepreneurial spirit that captivated me. It was so much opportunity for growth and exploration. And I was excited, but I still wanted to go back home and be comfortable and be in a place where I knew everybody, where everybody was familiar to me. So as I found myself trying to figure out where I should go and what I should do, I had to seek the face of God, because I was offered a job that I actually wanted before I came to Birmingham. So before I came, the job wasn't offered. Once I got here, they offered me the job. And so I had to make a decision. Was I going to stay or was I going to go back home? It seemed logical at the time, and it seemed so promising. And you know, and not to say that my life wouldn't have been different, because it probably could have. But I had to make a decision. And there was this voice on the inside of me that urged me to stay. In moments of quiet reflection and prayer, I sought God. I sought the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I needed clarity amidst all the doubts and uncertainties. And in the whispers of my heart, I found the answer that Birmingham was where I was meant to be. Now, despite the challenges and uncertainty that was ahead of me, I felt a sense of peace knowing that I was following the path that God had set for me. Choosing to stay in Birmingham was not without difficulty. You know, the city presented its fair share of challenges, from navigating unfamiliar streets to building a network from scratch. Yet amidst the trials and tribulations, I discovered resilience and strength within myself that I never knew existed. It was in Birmingham that I found my footing as an entrepreneur, seizing opportunities and forging ahead with unwavering determination. The city's dynamic landscape provided the perfect backdrop for pursuing my passions and dreams and offering endless possibilities for growth and self-discovery. Looking back on that pivotal moment, I can confidently say that staying in Birmingham was the best decision I made. Now, though the journey was fraught with obstacles and uncertainty, it ultimately led me down a path of growth, fulfillment, and boundless opportunities. Through the highs and the lows, triumphs and the setbacks, I emerged stronger and more resilient than ever before. Birmingham became more than just a city. It became my home, a place where dreams took flight and a journey of self-discovery knew no bounds. It's a place where I began my family and started my family. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Absolutely, facing difficulties is often when we need to lean on God's voice, right? And guidance the most. It is in those difficult times that we need to hear God's voice. In times of adversity and challenges, that our faith is truly tested and strengthened. It's not just tested, it's also strengthened. And we have to know and understand that when God calls us to a task, He equips us with the strength and the courage to persevere when the road ahead seems so daunting. But as a virtuous woman striving to accomplish great things, we encounter obstacles and setbacks all the time, don't we? That's just a part of it. But one thing that I remember anytime I'm faced with challenges and obstacles or setbacks is that I serve an extraordinary God who's specializing in turning trials into triumphs. In the midst of difficulty, it is so easy to doubt God's presence or question His plan. But the truth is, it is precisely in those moments that we need to anchor ourselves in His presence and trust in His faithfulness. For He is a God who makes a way when there seems to be no way. The God who turns our mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy. Life challenges may seem insurmountable at times, but with God by our side, we can overcome any obstacle that stands in our way. And as virtuous women, we've been called to accomplish extraordinary things, and we can do so with confidence knowing that we serve a God who is greater than any challenge that we may face. So let us embrace the difficulties of life as opportunities for God to work miracles in our midst. Let us trust in his unfailing love and lean on his strength to carry us through. No matter how difficult the journey may seem, God will see us through. Each of you who are watching tonight, I hope that you hear my heart. I hope that you understand what it is that I'm saying to you. Basically, what I'm saying is that God is ever present in those challenging moments. He's there when you're at a crossroad, when you don't know what to do, when you're grappling with the weight of monumental decisions or choices that seem like you don't know what to do. That's when God is there. And it confuses me sometimes because that's when people feel like God isn't, because it's hard, but that's when God is there. I know some of you are facing some decisions now that you have to make. It could be whether or not to preserve your marriage. Some of you may be standing on the precipice of embracing parenthood or pursuing a career. Others of you may be contemplating the daunting prospect of committing to a life partner, knowing it may be some added responsibility. You know, that's a challenge too, you know. Modern times, people, they don't want to get married because they feel like it's a lot, you know, and so that's, you know, that's a challenge. But as virtuous women, decision-making is a cornerstone of our lives. And we're accustomed to bearing multiple burdens and juggling countless responsibilities with grace and resilience. And yet, when faced with decisions that seem insurmountable, it is natural to seek divine guidance, to beseech God to enlarge our territories and to grant us the strength to carry the burdens placed on us. The Bible says, too much is given, much is required. And we'll talk more about that later on, but yeah, sometimes God gives us those virtues because he knows that they will be pulled on. There will be a demand on your virtue. I do want to share truth with you, something that Satan may blind you to or may not make as evident to you, a truth that has anchored me in my darkest hour. God will never burden us beyond our capacity to bear. And we know the virtuous woman, the famous Proverbs 31 woman, we understand that. Her capacity to accomplish remarkable feats was not an anomaly, but a testament to divine empowerment bestowed upon her. A lot of people have come to me and have asked me about the Proverbs 31 woman. How was she able to do this? And how was she able to do that? And you may be tasked with that question in your life, even internally. And people on the outside looking in, how is she able to do this? And she has multiple businesses, and she has a family, and she has multiple contracts, and she's doing all of this and doing how? And then a lot of times people may look at you as an anomaly, but honestly, it's not. It's you being empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? And so we never want to take the glory of God. We really want to allow God to get his glory through our lives. And so when people see all the projects that we're working on, see all of the businesses that we have, see that we're managing our relationships and managing our finances and managing our families, and we're doing it with grace, we have to be careful to give that glory to God, right? And not take on that glory ourselves. Because in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, it is so tempting to question our ability to endure, right? And a lot of times we don't take on, or we pray the Jabez prayer and we ask God to enlarge our territory. But you have to be careful because you don't want to be tempted to question your ability to endure the trials and tribulations that come with enlarging territory, come with additional contracts, come with additional businesses, come with marriage, come with children. Never question your ability to endure because it's not you. It should be the Holy Spirit. It should be the Holy Spirit empowering you. It should be the Holy Spirit in you. Because sometimes in life, when you're carrying on the weight and you begin to walk in your flesh and you begin to kind of not really in the spirit 100% of time, sometimes it can be despairing. And we have to remind ourselves that it's not by our strength, but it's by the power of God. And just as that Proverbs 31 woman faced her challenges head on, so too are we equipped to conquer all the trials and emerge victoriously. And that's why I say, to much is given, much is required. So my sisters who are watching, I want to encourage you to do something, two things. I got two challenges for you tonight. One, I need you to lay your burdens down, right, at the feet of Jesus. I want you to surrender your doubts, your fears, your uncertainties, and I want you to find rest in the unwavering presence of God. Rest is not defeat, but it's the assurance that God is in control, right? When I rest, I say, God, you got this, right? You got this. It's the assurance that God is in control. It is the trust factor that I give to him, letting him know that, God, I can't do this. I'm weak right now. I need you. I need your help. And that is the opportunity for God to orchestrate, to perfect the details, to perfect the imperfections in my life, right? That's God's opportunity. It's when I rest in him, it's when he can take control. So as you navigate through the complexities of decision-making, remember that you're not alone, that God is walking right there beside you. He's guiding your footsteps. He's infusing you with strength to overcome. So that's my first challenge for you this week, my sisters, is to lay down your burdens and rest in the knowledge that God got you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will carry you through every trial and every tribulation that lies ahead. Now, here's the second challenge. Here's the second challenge that I want to pose to you. I want you to really think about how you approach your decision making, right? Those tough choices. I want you to really think about that. And I want you to think about, how are you seeking answers within yourself? Is it that you're going to the Word of God? Do you have that quiet time? Because what I'm finding is that when we have so many things going on, so much happening in our lives, and we have to make decisions, right? We have to make decisions. I want us to have the right approach. Even tonight, you know, my podcast was supposed to start a certain time. Of course, it didn't. And I had to make a decision. Did I want, you know, like, God, what do you want me to do? Now, that's not a hard question. I mean, not a hard decision to make, but even in that little small thing, I gave it to God, right? So, but as you think about your decision-making process, I want to challenge you to do that in quiet times, in your quiet time with him, and in that special time, and that when you come out of your plaid closet, that you come out with strategies, that you come out with insight, that you come out with wisdom, that you come out with his voice leading you in the right direction, right? And so take those problems to God in your quiet moments, right? And I don't care how you do it. If you're a worshiper, if you like to walk, if you do it in your prayer time, I don't care how you do it, but just take those challenges and those problems to God, present it to him. Now, this is what I want you to say, because oftentimes we take our problems to God, we get an answer, and then sometimes we feel like it's something that we should do, right? It's something that it's for us to do, and not understanding that the challenging times is there for God to work, right? So we're like, oh, this is a challenge. Rest. Oh, this is hard. Rest. Oh, I can't bear this. Rest. Oh, this is difficult. Rest. It's not for you. It was never meant for you. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. It was never meant for you. So taking this to God, a lot of times the decisions should close your mouth, don't say nothing, don't move, stand still, I'll fight your battles. If you take it to God in prayer, and it's so challenging and it's so overwhelming, and we're talking about a burden, God, he's going to take that burden for you. And a lot of times for me, God will tell me, go sleep and go rest. Go lay down. I got this. So this is what I want you to say. I want you to say this, is that, God, I need you. I have a decision to make, and I need your guidance. And at this point, I want you to surrender all your fears. I want you to surrender your doubts, uncertainties. And know, I want you to come to him knowing that he has the power to change your life, knowing who God is in you and through you and what he can do for you. Okay? So it's the attitude in which you approach God. And you're coming with the right attitude. You're coming with the right perspective. But you're coming, or you're understanding me, you're coming with the mindset that there is something that's heavy on me. There's something that's burdening me down. There's something that's too hard for me. I can't do it. So in this prayer time, in this quiet time, God, I'm giving it to you. And when I come out, I'm not coming out heavy. I'm not coming out weighted down. I'm not coming out burdened down. I'm coming out rested. Let's look at Ruth one more time. What if Ruth had made the wrong decision and she followed Naomi's suggestion and went back to her hometown? How would her life have turned out? What if she did what she wanted to do and went where she wanted to go? Right? What impact would that have had on her entrepreneurial pursuits, her role as a wife to Boaz, her journey? Right? What? How would this have changed? Right? If and so when we're going to God and we're making decisions, we have to make his will paramount, because your life will change if you're not in God's will. Think about all of the bad decisions and bad choices that you made. I guarantee it was because it was not in God's will. It was not his will for you. I even look at my own choices, whether to stay in Birmingham or to go back home. What if I chose the easiest path? Right? And just returned to where I felt was comfortable and felt good. What I've experienced growth and opportunities that I've experienced here? Would I've become an entrepreneur? Would I've been the wife that I am, the mother that I am? I don't know. I mean, we don't know. What's important is that we know what God's will is, and that when we leave those conversations and when we leave those quiet times with him, we leave in confidence. Because you'll never have to worry. You'll never have to think. You'll never have to guess twice whether or not you're obeying God. I don't like to think about what would happen if I didn't listen to God. I just try to make it a priority to listen, to get direction, to get instruction, to hear his voice, and to follow his voice. All right? So I want you to really think about these things that I'm challenging you to do today, right? And to get God's guidance on every decision that you make, because virtuous women, we have lots of decisions. I know for me, it's like all day long, I'm making decisions. I'm making plans. I'm making moves. And I got to make sure that I'm moving how God wants me to move. Ruth's obedience catapulted her into her place of blessing and fulfillment. And you too can be in that place of blessing and fulfillment if you obey God, obey his voice, and allow him to lead your life with purpose, right, in abundance. So take your decisions to God this week differently. If you haven't been doing this already, let's just try it with me, okay? And I need you to trust God. trust him, because basically you're just saying, God, it's heavy. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm afraid. God, this is how I feel, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you, right? I'm going to obey you. I want to pray for you. I really want to pray for you, and that you're confident in the decisions that you make. I want to pray for your ear gates, that you're really hearing God. I want to pray for your eyes, that you really see where it is that you're going, and that you have clear vision and clear direction. Because the Bible says without vision, men perish, right? We don't want any other businesses dying. We don't want any other bad relationships. I need for you to hear clearly, and I need for you to see clearly where it is that God will have for you to go and what it is that God have for you to do. Because decision-making and making the right decision is one of the most important decisions that entrepreneurs have to make, mothers have to make. It is so important, and how we approach that can change the trajectory of our lives. It changes our finances. It changes our health. It changes everything about us. Just being able to make the right decision, the right relationship. Who am I supposed to marry? How many kids am I supposed to have? What side of town am I supposed to be in? Is this somebody that I should invest in? Should I allow somebody to invest in me? Should this person be a client? Right? That was one choice. That's something that I had to deal with. There was a still small voice in me that told me not to take on this client. And instead of me listening to the Holy Spirit, I listened to that compassionate side of me. And I regretted it. I regret it. And I knew God, that's what God told me to do. He said, don't take that client on. And I took the client on. And I regret it. Right? And so we have to make decisions that build legacy, that build a future, that builds, you know, that's building. Because, you know, women, virtuous women, we're constantly in that creativity mode and in that building mode. And I'm praying with you. I'm praying for you that we can make some good choices this week, and that God is leading and guiding us in all of our endeavors. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this virtuous woman who is watching today, God. Holy Spirit, empower her right where she is, God. God, we decree and declare that her week will be full and blessed with your spirit, God, that she will rest, her mind will rest, her spirit will rest in you, God, that the worry will have to dissipate right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your strength, God. We thank you for your power, God. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you that you're wrapping your arms around her and you're letting her know, God, that you love her and that you care about her, God. She will not feel lonely. She will not feel weak. She will not feel despair. She will not feel overwhelmed. Her mind is rested. Her spirit is rested, God. Her soul is rested, God, in the name of Jesus. She see clearly. She hears clearly, God. And God, we're thanking you for all that you're doing, God. And we pray blessings upon her. And we thank you, God, that you are God who knows all, God, and you sees all. And you see all, God. And we thank you for being the God that you are. And until next time, until next week, we hope you have a virtuous week. Blessings.